In the Old Testament, it's clear that David was not a perfect man. But David recognized his unwise and desperate decisions, and he turned again to the Lord. King Saul did neither of those things. The last chapter of 1 Samuel records the sad end of Saul's reign and the continuing preparation of David to succeed him as king. Their experiences provide important lessons for us. Keep listening as Stephen Davey brings you today's lesson from God's Word.
As Saul is now facing the day of his death, it's promised back in chapter 28, David is now hemmed in by his own plans. In our last study, David had gone over to the Philistines and convinced the king of Gath that he had his allegiance now with him. The problem is, the king of Gath now joins his fellow Philistines as they prepare to attack Saul and his army. Well, David has already indicated that he will fight with the Philistines. So now, what in the world is he going to do to get out of this? If he fights with them against Israel, he's going to lose his credibility. He will have killed fellow Israelites. But if he refuses to join the Philistines, they're going to realize he's been lying to them all along and, well, he could lose his life. I think Satan was wringing his hands with delight here. I mean, this is going to end God's plans for his anointed, David, to sit on Israel's throne. How did David get stuck in the middle of all of this? Well, he made some wrong decisions instead of trusting the Lord. But let me tell you, his failure is not going to cripple God's plans for his future. And frankly, that's good news for you and me too. Even when we are unfaithful to the Lord, he is faithful to us. Well, fortunately, the other Philistine military leaders don't trust David. And here in the opening verses of chapter 29, they refuse to allow David to come along. And with that, the Lord allows David to escape from this terrible dilemma. And with that, David and his men are allowed to go home. Now here, before he does, David, you know, pretends to be disappointed. He pretends to be even offended by being rejected by these Philistine commanders. David earns an Oscar for acting, frankly. But things are about to get worse for them. When they return to that home city where they've been living in Ziklag, chapter 30 describes what happens here in verse 1. Now when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had made a raid against Ziklag and burned it with fire and taken captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great. They killed no one but carried them off and went their way. And when David and his men came to the city, they found it burned with fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. Imagine the scene. These battle-hardened soldiers, what do? They all burst into tears. Verse 4 says, they wept until they had no more strength to weep. Trouble is, once they stop crying, they start accusing David. And here in verse 6, they even start talking about stoning David to death. Well, here in the last part of verse 6, we read, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. You know, this is the first time in many months that David has talked with God. His clever plans have collapsed. He's been telling himself that he can handle King Achish, that he knows what he's doing. He's told his men that it'll all work out. It won't be long before the nation is at peace and I'm going to be on the throne of Israel. But now look, their families are gone and these loyal soldiers have turned against them. They might even kill him. Now, David's natural instincts must have been screaming, we got to chase after those Amalekites. We got to rescue our families. This is the only way I'm going to get my credibility back. Let's go. But David is no longer listening to his instincts. You know, those have caused him enough trouble already. He now wants to hear from God. So David calls the priest to lead him in seeking the wisdom of God. And verse 8 says, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue after this band? Shall I overtake them? He, that is the priest, answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake and shall surely rescue. And with that, David sets out now with godly confidence and wisdom. Now, as they pursue the Amalekites here in verse 11, they come across an Egyptian slave who'd gotten sick and was left behind on the trail. And with his help, David is able to surprise the Amalekites, defeat them, plunder their camp, and rescue all their families. Verse 26 informs us that David sent part of the spoil to his friends, the elders of Judah, saying, "Here is a present for you from the spoil of the enemies of the Lord." David is actually demonstrating his loyalty to his own tribe in southern Israel. Now, there are a couple of lessons that I want to point out for us today. First, you need to be slow to listen to your own heart. No matter how clever, you know, our plans might seem, let's remember that we can talk our hearts into doing just about anything. Our instincts and decisions need to be guided and guarded by God's word and his desires. Secondly, we need to be quick to thank the Lord for his forgiveness. You know, the Lord remained silent with King Saul because Saul wasn't repentant. Saul wanted help from a witch, but David wanted wisdom from a priest, ultimately from God, who then responded by giving him guidance. Let me tell you, God is forever gracious to respond to a repentant, humbled child of his. There are still more victories for David to enjoy now, and for you as well. Well, chapter 31 now returns us to the battlefield where Saul is fighting the Philistines along with his sons. And verse 1 tells us, tragically, the men of Israel fled before the Philistines and fell slain on Mount Gilboa. Israel suffers a crushing defeat. We're told that Jonathan and two other sons of Saul are killed in this battle. As for Saul, verse 3 tells us that he was struck by an arrow and badly wounded, and fearing what the Philistines would do to him if they found him alive, Saul orders his armor bearer to kill him. When the armor bearer refuses to do this, Saul falls on his sword and tragically takes his own life. Well, the next day, the Philistines find the bodies of Saul and his sons out there on the battlefield. Now, the details here in chapter 31 of 1 Samuel, they're repeated in 1 Chronicles chapter 10. And let me remind you, whenever we have repeated narratives like these, I'm going to combine them together and deal with them one time. So over here in 1 Chronicles chapter 10 and verse 8, the tragic news, we're given more details as it's recorded here. The next day, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, they found Saul and his sons fallen on Mount Gilboa, and they stripped him and took his head and his armor and sent messengers throughout the land of the Philistines to carry the good news to their idols and to the people. And they put his armor in the temple of their gods and fastened his head in the temple of Dagon. The Philistines obviously believe that their victory is proof that their gods are more powerful than Israel's God. You know, Saul began well, but he ended in tragic defeat, didn't he? And the issue wasn't military. It wasn't political. It was spiritual. His defeat came from within. His death had been foretold just the day before, but Saul went ahead to the very end, not listening, not obeying the word and the will of God. But let me tell you, behind all of this bad news, God is still at work. He isn't finished with Israel. In fact, he's just beginning. You see, when Saul died, many people must have thought that this was the end of Israel. But actually, here's what's happening. The death of King Saul ushers in David's kingly line, which will lead ultimately to the birth of the Messiah. So with the death of King Saul now, the book of 1 Samuel comes to a close. But a second book is about to begin, 2 Samuel. And it's going to introduce the reign of King David. Well, until we begin our wisdom journey through the second book of Samuel, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was a lesson entitled, "The Final Days of King Saul." It's the last lesson from the book of 1 Samuel as Stephen Davey teaches through God's Word on this wisdom journey. We'll continue making progress through all of the Bible in the days ahead. We released this episode in June of 2022, and on our website right now is a free resource for dads. Visit wisdomonline.org to download Stephen's booklet written to encourage fathers. Do that today. Then join us next time here on the Wisdom Journey.